Welcome to the Callaway Golf Podcast, part of the Callaway Podcast Network. Here's your host, Jeff Newbarth.
So joining us, a couple of U.S. amateur champions, a couple of SMU Mustangs. I don't know if this is like the Pony Express or I don't know how we introduce you guys, but Kelly Kraft and Colt Nose, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Jeff.
All right, well, we're excited to get all these questions that have been sent in. Most of them are not about golf, so that kind of makes it super exciting for me to chat with you guys. And speaking of not about golf, Colt, just for people who kind of want the update, you've recently made some announcements, kind of some career path changes. You want to let everyone know what's going on first?
Yeah, so basically my last PGA Tour event was the Waste Management Phoenix Open. I kind of knew that was going to be my last one going in unless I got a victory, which I obviously did not. So now I've kind of set my career in another direction, and I'm co-host of a SiriusXM show on PGA Tour Radio called Gravy in the Sleeves with my buddy Drew Stoltz, which is a lot of fun. It's 3 days a week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then we have a podcast kind of like this where you can find everywhere you watch your podcast called Golf Subpar with me and Drew as well. It's been a lot of fun, had some awesome guests, but kind of switched over to a different side, that's for sure, but I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah, and we know you're going to be doing some TV stuff in the future, too, and excited to see you kind of grow into this role, because everyone knows you're going to be great at it. Kelly, you're coming off of an injury. Why don't you give people an update sort of on your health and, kind of how you're doing these days?
Yeah, so I had hip surgery. I tore my labrum last season, and I haven't played yet this season. I've just been rehabbing and getting in the gym and getting – just takes a while to get stronger again. I'm walking around fine and everything like that. But, once these driver ends start to open back up, here in Texas, then, I'll be able to start to get after it and know a date, hopefully sooner than later, that I can get back to playing on tour. I know everybody's kind of wanting to play, but I've been off even longer than them. So I'm itching too.
Yeah, I can't imagine it. And, the other news is you didn't get drafted by the Miami Dolphins, though. We did take another guy who had some hip surgery. All right, well, let's get right into these questions. Colt, what are you going to miss most and least about playing professional golf? This one's from Jordan.
The most, for sure, just being around all the guys. Kelly knows I'm a social guy out there. I like to walk up and down the range and talk to everyone. I'm obviously going to miss competing. There's nothing like the adrenaline of playing professional tournament golf. The thing I'll miss the least, for sure, is being on the cut line Friday afternoon. that back nine on Friday, trying to make the cut, is not fun at all.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah, the pressure part of it, and too, and it's just like, it's crazy. Kelly, starting with you, your favorite stop on the PGA Tour?
Oh, man, I always like going out to probably Pebble or L.A. I like the West Coast the best. That's always good stops out there.
Well, that's the correct answer, Colt. Anything to add on that? What's your favorite tour stop?
My favorite tournament always was the Players' Championship, TPC Sawgrass, just a golf course I loved. The atmosphere, the crowds were awesome, and it's, one of the biggest events in golf.
All right. Frankie wants to know, Colt, that he wants you to know he loves your subpar podcast. That's nice of you to say, Frankie. And would like to know, who have you not had on the show besides Kelly and myself that you would like to have on the show?
For sure, y'all too. We're working on that. We have one coming up. We haven't recorded it yet, but we've committed from Johnny Manziel, which will be very interesting.
Oh, nice.
As far as non-golf.
Money going, right?
Yeah. For golf, we've had some good names. Would love to get Dustin Johnson, Rory McIlroy on sometime soon. Obviously, Tiger's just a bucket list.
But I've heard of him.
Just keep it in the Callaway family. We're working hard on Phil. We're trying hard to get Phil to give in and spend some time with us.
Nice. Well, it sounds like Phil has some stuff coming up to promote, so maybe that could be part of his promotional tour. All right, this is from Ryan. Start with you, Kelly. What's your favorite Pro-Am story, favorite thing you've seen some amateur hack like myself do on a Wednesday with you out there?
Oh my gosh, I've seen a lot of stuff. Probably I played in this one Pro-Am, and they handed me the scorecard, and there were so many dots on this scorecard that there was just absolutely no way that I was going to be able to keep score. The guys were really nice, and we had a good time chatting, but I think I just handed them back in a blank scorecard because there was just – we didn't finish. It was my score and what I shot, and that was pretty much it.
Yeah, when you get all those dots on there, it gets confusing. Colt, how about you? What's the craziest Pro-Am story you've seen?
I've got one that just sticks out so much. Kelly can attest to this. Like, it was the Monday Pro-Am at Bay Hill, and like, you can see everybody on the range warming up, and you see that one guy that sticks out that he's terrible or he's dressed ridiculous. You just know, like, you're going to be paired with that guy. And yeah. We're at Bay Hill, and this guy was in a pink shirt, black knickers, pink socks. And then his caddy was dressed the same, and then his family was behind him all dressed the same too. And I'm like,
oh no,
I get that guy. And I did. And we started number 9 at Bay Hill, and the guy had earplugs in because he said he couldn't focus with all the outside noise. Took it so serious. It was awful. Had his caddy go over and tell a guy that was weed eating his backyard to turn off his weed eater because his guy couldn't focus. It was just the most ridiculous comical pro-am I've ever been a part of.
Oh my God.
He took it so serious. It was hilarious. But I'll just
dressed like that, he wouldn't take it that seriously. But
yeah, really. And Bay Hill's hard. Bay Hill's like really hard anyway. So like, if he misses a fairway, A, you can't find the ball, and B, he's not going to be able to get it out of that rough.
Oh yeah, he told me he plays 10 to 11 at PGA Tour pro-ams a year, which was interesting. And once he found out we couldn't win, because they have live scoring on the phone. Once he found out we couldn't win, he was just devastated. His day was so ruined. It was comical, but it was just one of those ones. You see the guy from a mile away, and you're like, I guarantee you, I'm paired with this guy today.
Oh my God, that's crazy! All right, Chuck. Go ahead, Colt.
No, that's it.
All right, Johnny wants to know for both of you, what's your go-to snack during the round? Start with you, Colt. Go-to snack.
Probably just peanut butter and jelly. Simple, easy.
Right. Kelly, how about yours?
Peanut butter and jelly for sure. I've always
got that one. Was that like the team table at SMU? They just kind of had those like sitting out there, and that's what you guys had to do?
Because they have all that stuff in player dining every week, and you can just make one and throw it in a baggie, you know, and move on.
All right, here's a question I love from Rick. We'll start with you, Kelly. If you had to play one course for the rest of your life, which course would it be?
No, for me, Pebble. I mean, if I don't have to play it with like everybody, you know.
Right.
If it can just be my course, I'd go there. But I'm not in a 5-hour round, so it has to be moving pretty quick.
Yeah, you need to be first out if you're going to do that. How about you, Colt? Which course are you going to go with?
Oh, mine's easy. Shadow Creek in Las Vegas. One of my favorite golf courses. Favorite. Just, I've always said if I had one round of golf left to play in my life, it would probably honestly be there. Just the atmosphere, how you get treated out there. Just, it's so much fun hanging out in the locker room and in the grill. And it's Las Vegas, so there's plenty to do after golf.
Yeah, and I mean, talk about one of the all-time great grill rooms. What's the story? They've only one time in their history been able to not make what someone orders, and it was on like a shark sandwich or something. It's kind of how the lore goes.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you can – if they make it happen there. That is
yeah. For sure. Yeah, that's a great question. All right, Sean wants to know, starting with you, Colt, who is the funniest guy on the PGA Tour? Could be a caddy, could be a broadcaster, could be a player. Who's the funniest out there?
Well, for me, I would probably have to say Pat Perez, just because of how honest and open he is. And he lets you know how you feel. He's very entertaining. But it'd be hard for me to go against – I mean, he's not on tour anymore or out on the broadcast, but Gary McCord was always one of my favorite guys.
Yeah. You and me both. How about you, Kelly?
I'm going to have to go with my guy Colt right here.
Oh, what an honor.
He's always up and down the range. You can always hear him. I mean, he's always giving somebody something, whether it's from a money game or you know, from something they did the night before. So he's always fun to listen to.
For sure. And here's a question from Jennifer May Jakes. She is a Callaway Diablo Octane Club. Well, she better not tell Henrik that, or he's going to call and steal it, that she uses every single hole. Do you guys each have a fit club, starting with you, Kelly? Favorite club in the bag?
Oh, I'm going
to... Or through history, is there a club, you know, from the amateur win or college or...
Well, there's I have an old 3-wood that I use that I haven't switched in, you know, 3 or 4 years. That's probably the one that's been in there the longest, but it's probably, I mean, putter's my favorite club. I switch a little bit, but the 3-wood's the one that's been in there the longest.
All right. How about you, Colt?
Yeah. Putter for me is obviously very special. It's one of the few things I'm good at in this game. I still use the Odyssey number 7 with the Works insert. So it's pretty old, but one of my favorites. But Kelly can probably attest 5-wood's always been like my favorite club. Everyone on tour knows when I have the 5-wood, it's pretty good. And it's always been a Callaway, no matter, even back to when I was in amateur golf, I played the old steelhead. Now I've just, each family of Callaway clubs that come out, I've switched to it, and it's always been a weapon of mine.
We play these games when Colt lived in Dallas, and I just remember par fives were just always a joke if he wasn't on your team, because he'd hit it the shortest, and then he'd hit his 5-wood up in the air like a pitching wedge, and he hits it to 4 feet and hammers, and you haven't even got a chance to hit it on the green yet. You're like, I mean, he's going to make eagle, so I don't know if I should accept or decline. It's just five wood. The five wood.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The new five wood, this thing is ridiculous. This mat, oh my God, it is so good. Our golf courses in Southern California, I think some of them are going to open up tomorrow. We're just waiting for one last level of improvement. And at the first hole that I play, whether we go off the front or the back, it's kind of a quirky par five on both sides and five wood off the tee. And cannot wait to pull this thing out of the bag because it is ridiculous. All right, next one. Jason wants to know, how do you guys stay mentally calm out there? And any tips for junior golfers trying to break out and compete in tournaments? Colt, starting with you, about mental calmness out there.
Yeah, that's definitely a tough part. You know, with everything that's on the line on the PGA Tour, as far as, you know, money, FedEx Cup points, I mean, dealing with the crowds. But at the end of the day, it's still just golf. I mean, Kelly and I have done it for so long. I mean, you're out there playing with your buddies, or you're out there playing in the last group of a PGA Tour event. It's still golf. You're just playing the golf course and trying to hit every shot the best you can, make every putt you can. It's tough, but it's what the greatest players in the world are really, really good at. And it's just separating, trying to knock out all the outside noise and just focus on what you got to do.
Sure. Yeah. Kelly, for you?
Yeah, I think a lot of that is just experience and being out there and doing it a lot. The more you play tournaments, the more you play rounds of golf, the more comfortable you become being under par or, you know, breaking 80 or whatever it is. The more you put yourself in that position, just kind of the more comfortable you become. But, I mean, that's what it's been for me. I mean, you can talk about mental game stuff as far as like controlling your breathing and stuff like that. But for me, the most comfortable I've become is just from playing in all these tournaments and putting myself there and just kind of drawing back on those experiences.
See, Colt, I think also part of the answer is you're going to be comfortable. You know, you have a great Callaway lid on. You have some nice Travis Matthew clothes. Got to look good to be comfortable out there, right?
That is a fact.
Yeah. Are there any other brands I can say Quater belt. All right. Ben wants to know, his son is considering going to SMU next year. Sum it up in a few words for him. What was college like for you guys? Kelly, why don't you take that one? A few words to sum up the Pony Express.
Well, if he likes to play good golf courses, look at pretty girls, and playing a lot of the best tournaments in the country, then SMU is probably his spot. All he's got to do is go walk around that campus one time to know he probably needs to go there. That was kind of my experience, so a lot of fun.
How about you, Colt?
Yeah, the scenery is rather nice around SMU, but it's just such a cool atmosphere. I mean, it's a smaller school, you know, for a big-time school. I mean, I think when I was there, it was 10,000 undergrad, so you kind of feel like it's an intimate setting and everything, but it's a blast. Right in the middle of Dallas, great city. Awesome sports town. There's not much can go wrong at SMU. It's a great place.
All right. This is probably the most important question we're going to ask the entire day. So we need to really focus and get serious. I'll start with you here, Colt. What's the best spot for authentic Texas barbecue and what's your go-to meal? This is being asked by Patrick.
Texas barbecue. I mean, Rudy's is pretty hard to beat. My buddy owns a place in Dallas called Ferris Wheeler's, which is really, really, really good. I'm not a huge barbecue guy, believe it or not. I'm actually a huge Mexican food guy. I was hoping that's where you were going with that question, but I'll say those two.
Okay.
I would probably say Rudy's or like there's a place in Dallas called Pecan Lodge. It's pretty good. Yeah. But I'm with Colt too. I'm more of a Tex-Mex guy than barbecue.
Excellent. Well, that's good because our next question, which is for me, is what's the best Tex-Mex spot and where are we going there? Kelly, start with that.
I'm going to probably go with like Banditos maybe. It's kind of right around the corner from SMU. It's pretty good. But it's Tex-Mex. I don't know. I always tend to go there. What do you think, Cole?
I can't believe you didn't say Javier's. I mean,
well, that's not really Tex-Mex. That's kind of authentic Mexican.
They have chips and salsa. Yeah. It's Mexican.
Okay, well, if we're going like just Mexican food in general, then I go Javier's too.
It's but Banditos is good, but Javier's is – and there's a Javier's out in L.A. and out in Vegas. This is different. This is different. This is a separate Javier's, but it is absolutely incredible. My favorite. I've always said if I ever won the Masters for the Champions Dinner, I'm having Javier's come in and take care of the dinner.
Oh, so it's not the one that's in Vegas and no. L.A. Because there's one in San Diego here too that's that same group.
It's different.
Different.
Okay. Have you guys ever, when you played Torrey, do you ever go to the two spots in Solana Beach that have been around since the 60s, Fidel's or Tony's Chacal? You ever been to those two?
I've been to Fidel's.
Yeah, I've been there too.
Very good.
Yeah, those two are pretty solid spots in Solana Beach. Been there since the 60s. Can pretty much create your own meal.
It's not
getting really hungry here.
It's not.
No, it's definitely not Tex-Mex. definitely not Tex-Mex. All right, a couple more questions here. With the Phil, Tiger, Brady, and Manning match approaching, if you guys were playing in one of these, who would your celebrity or pro athlete partner pick to take down, say, Phil and Brady? Kelly, who would you want out there with you?
Oh, man. Oh, celebrity. I don't know. Maybe somebody that's decent at golf. So, I don't know. Maybe, like, Mark Wahlberg would be a pretty good guy to have.
He's terrible at golf.
He's not bad. I mean,
he's 14.
He's going to get strokes, though, right?
I don't know. I don't know what the format is.
Is there any strokes?
Yeah, then there's – I don't know. Well, that'll all get figured out by smarter people than me. But,
I'm taking Tony Romo.
Yeah, that's the obvious answer. But I was going to say almost besides Romo, Cole, who would you want? I mean, Larry Fitzgerald seems like a pretty good pick. He seems to get a billion pops and win every year.
He does. He's great. But I'm going to go with a guy that's obviously been all over the TV lately with this amazing show, The Last Dance, Michael Jordan. I believe the match is going to be played at Medalist down in Florida, which is one of his home golf courses. So, and there's nobody better under pressure, and there's no moment that can scare Michael Jordan. So I'm going to go with MJ.
All right, well, I'm going to jump right ahead then to a question that Lex, who works on our team, asked, is A, have you guys been watching The Last Dance? And B, what's another sports team documentary that if you could sit here down in this time when we have nothing to do but watch stuff, if there was another season that could be documented, what would it be?
Go ahead, Kelly.
Man, well, yes, I have been watching The Last Dance, and it's amazing. I wish they would just so all come out at the same time so I could just crank them out. If I could watch... You know, I don't – documentary. I don't know which – maybe some of those – I'm a big Dallas Cowboys fan, so maybe some of those early Cowboys teams that were really good because, I wasn't really around when all that was happening or I was too young to kind of know.
Right.
But just to go back and learn some about that would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with that.
Yeah, I have watched every second of The Last Dance. I actually watched episodes 3 and 4 twice because nice. I love it so much. I love the Dennis Rodman parts. For me, if it was possible, it wouldn't really happen, but if they could have followed Tiger the last year or two and just shown what he has to go through to get ready to play golf and basically this whole process of getting back to being one of the best players in the world again and obviously his run up to the Masters last year, that I just feel like that had been fascinating.
Yeah, for sure. I wonder if he would give them access to that. Who knows? I think I think that the Dallas Cowboys with Jimmy Johnson, with Irvin and Dion and Emmett and Aikman and Witten and that offensive line. I mean, some of those guys got in a little bit of troubles. That would have been kind of fun. But Charles Haley, and that just would have been such an eclectic group of personalities. I love Hard Knocks. Hard Knocks is always like one of the highlights of the year. And if we don't have Hard Knocks this year, I'm going to be very sad. But those are the types of documentaries. The other one is, and there's that great 30 for 30. I grew up in South Miami. So staying with Jimmy Johnson, the Miami Hurricane teams of the late 80s, when there were no rules and everything was just kind of happening, that would have been pretty fascinating to see. And then the Warriors. The Warriors would have been a fascinating documentary. You know, we're hearing all this stuff about Draymond and Durant and those personalities. Would have been pretty cool to see a documentary on that team a couple years ago.
My whole thing with the Warriors thing, I've heard that several times, is it's just to follow up The Last Dance with the Chicago Bulls when, just in my opinion, they're on a higher level than anybody else. It wouldn't do it.
Yeah, agreed. So, yeah, totally, totally. Yeah, you definitely have to go to another sport.
Yeah.
Gretzky with the LA Kings would have been cool, too, just seeing him kind of move because you had an entire city in LA that didn't care about hockey, and all of a sudden it became a hockey town just because the greatest guy came in. All right, this is a question. Kelly, Skittles always in the bag. If it weren't Skittles, what would you have?
I'm a gummy candy guy, so probably like Swedish Fish or Sour Patch Kids.
All right, that's a good one. Start with you on this one, Colt. One of my favorite things about the Callaway Tour Truck, and there's so much content you can see about the Callaway Tour Truck, is kind of the closet full of hats. Mm-hmm. That's where I stole this one. Thanks, Johnny Thompson. But I don't know whose hat I took. I think this might be a Leishman or something like that. But who can't pull off your hat look? Because everybody has their own hat look. Like Kelly, Sean, one of our camera guys, if you ever notice, you're one or two hats short. Sean's a flat brim guy. And he always like walks in there. He's like, hey, do you guys have any extra Kelly crafts? Who can't pull off your hat look?
Mine? I mean, my hat's
start with
not you. Very – I mean, my hat's pretty normal. So I don't know. Kelly might not be. Hit with that hair and everything, it might not fit over it. Kelly, I see Kelly in a visor all the time.
I've been going towards the visor a little bit more. I don't know if Colt really ever does the visor, but
no, my head gets
burned. Bald head, so that would not be good. but I got to let it flow a little bit in the visor or the flat bill out the back.
Yeah, for sure, dude. Well, that's good news for Sean if he can get more of your hats. Mason wants to know, starting with you, Kelly, what if you had one golf shot that you remember that you've seen someone else hit, what would that be? When you're just kind of either you're out there, you're watching on TV, you look at a shot and go, oh my God, I can't believe they pulled that one off.
Well, in person, I was playing with DJ, and we teed off in the back nine at Riviera one year on like a Saturday. Mm-hmm. I played with him before, but he was really just pounding his driver, and we got to 13, and yeah. he hit this driver over those left trees way up there in front of the green, and I just kind of looked at my caddy and I was like, that's not our line. I'm gonna hit it up the right and just kind of draw it out there. I think he hit it like 100 by me. We're walking down there, we're just like, we're just never gonna have that. So let's try to make some putts.
Yeah, exactly. How about you, Colt?
I think a shot that sticks out to me, not that I could ever hit, it's just one that amazes me every year when I go there. When we're at RBC Canadian Open at Glen Abbey, I walk over to 18 to the fairway bunker where Tiger hit the 6-iron from 210 yards over the water in the rain. And I'm just like, I don't understand. Like, first off, I'm a terrible fairway bunker player. Like, the fact that he hit that shot over 200 yards with a 6-iron under those circumstances is honestly one of the greatest shots I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, that gets back to the whole he's pretty good thing. This is an interesting question from Gord Ito. Typical tournament on a Thursday to Sunday. Talk me through your week, starting with you, Colt, when you were playing. You know, were you a guy who tried to fly in Sunday night from the previous tournament or from home, or were you going Monday? What was your kind of Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday prep for a typical event?
Yeah, so I based my schedule on what city we were going to or which one we were in. So if we were in a fun city, I would stay there Sunday night. If we were going to a fun city, I would fly there Sunday night. And Mondays was normally a day off for me, just pretty chill. And then Tuesday, I'm always looking for a little action. I hate practice rounds. They take forever. So I always make sure that I have a little gambling game, which I know the tour doesn't like that a ton, but I really enjoy that. And then Wednesday, if you're in the pro-am, great. If not, it's the shortest day of the week if you're not in the pro-am, because just a couple hour practice and then you're done. But I'm pretty chill. Normally Wednesdays I'd go see a movie in the afternoon and get ready to go on Thursday. I'm pretty boring during tournament weeks, honestly, except for Sunday night.
Yeah, it sounds like it. How about you, Kelly?
Yeah, I usually – I'm with Cole. If it's a fun city you're going to, I have to get out of there Sunday night and get there. If not, sometimes I'll go home for a night or two. It's just because it's easy for me to get back home. And if I'm playing a practice round on a Tuesday, I'm usually probably just playing 9 holes. I don't like to play 18 holes unless we have some sort of a match going, and then I'll keep going because it's fun. And you have all that, you know, four guys and you're playing for a little cash or whatever is always fun. But then it's Wednesday Pro-Am or, you know, a little putting short game and get out of there. And Thursday is you're ready to go and it's game on.
Yeah, I think it's really changed from you know, 20, 30 years ago. It seemed like guys used to get there and, like, these practice rounds were, like, almost mandatory. But now it seems like, you know, you and your caddy can do some recon. You know, you figure out the speed of the greens. You kind of play, you know, not too many new courses each year, right? So you can kind of figure out when you can pick your schedule. Has that been a big change, Kelly, that it's like you don't have to prepare as much on the actual golf course and learn the golf course as maybe in the past?
Yeah, I remember when I was, like, a rookie and stuff, I was excited to be out there, and you see it every year, these young guys coming in and the courses are just packed on like Mondays and Tuesdays just because they're excited and they want to get out there and play practice rounds and try to learn these courses. But you know, after you've played them 5 times, it's, you know, they're not changing other than if it's rained or if the greens are in a little better shape than they were the previous year, you know, rough length. But so that's why I feel like I can do a lot more in a kind of a 9-hole practice round as opposed to 18, just because I already know the courses and it's going to wear me out a lot less.
Yeah, my favorite one this year was we were up in Napa, because one of the rules of being part of the Callaway Media Productions team and getting to decide where we're going to shoot is we're always going to go shoot in Napa. Talk about the fun city part. And on Monday, all the guys were coming from Jackson, Mississippi, and all the planes got canceled because most people were coming through Houston. So they had this pro-am on Monday, and they were like scrambling for anybody to get in there. And the tournament director saw Tim Mickelson, And he's like, hey, you're going to play in this pro-am. And Tim came up and he's like, do you have a putter I can have? So like literally went to the truck and we gave him a putter and stuff. And can you imagine the disappointment of this group? They got their card and they saw they're playing with Mickelson on a Monday pro-am. And they get to the 17th and Tim's just like, sorry, guys. Just kind of going from there.
That'd be a bummer. I'd probably ask for a refund if I was those guys.
Yeah, they ended up having a great time. Tim, I think, only had like 6 or 7 clubs by the time we could just cobble something together for him. So it was super fun. All right. Curtis Barkley, I don't know if he's related to Charles, wants to know, what are your stock 7-iron distances? So, Colt, what's your stock 7-iron?
168 carry. I'm short. Okay. I'm so weak.
How about you, Kelly? 177.
Damn it. Disappointing.
Make you feel better. Mine's way shorter than yours.
Okay, good.
I'm also not a pro golfer.
Thanks, Jeff.
No problem. All right, Worm Slick wants to know, what are your thoughts about no fans? Kelly, I'll kick this one to you. If we do start with no fans, what are your thoughts on it?
Man, I mean, I think it'll be way more laid back, maybe. It'll just feel like a big money game with all your friends, kind of. Right. I mean, you still have TV cameras, I guess, but it'll be way – I don't know. I just don't know if it'll feel like a golf tournament, but at the end of the week, they're still giving away, you know, $7 million. So I guess it's still definitely a tournament, but I think it'll just be a little more laid back. You know, maybe guys won't take it as seriously and they can free up a little bit.
Yeah. What do you think, Colt?
It'll feel like every tournament of my 7-year career. basically not playing in front of anybody for the most part. No, it's unfortunate. I think fans are just a huge part of sports. It's not the same, I'll have to say. I mean, I use example, can you imagine playing Waste Management Phoenix Open and going through on 16 with nobody in there? Like Kelly knows, like on Tuesday, you don't feel anything. You just go through there and you hit your shot and you go. But once Thursday comes around, it's nuts. Your adrenaline gets going and that's part of golf. And also to bring up Tiger again, imagine him making the putt to win at Augusta last year. And, you know, the whole place is chanting Tiger. Well, it's just going to be dead silent. Like him yelling would be weird. I mean, it's unfortunate, but you know, times are tough right now and you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah. That's where I think it's going to be weird. Cause I think we're going to hear a lot more stuff because, you know, there are microphones out there, you know, with all the TV feature groups, each one of those cameras has a mic on it, but you really can't hear it. Cause there's always like a murmur, like think about it, Sawgrass, you know, there's that murmur from the hill on 16, 17. You're not going to have that. It's just gonna be kind of weird. You're just going to hear stuff. And the other thing is there's a lot of other stuff that goes on at a tour event. Like there's, you know, rules guys driving a golf cart and you're going to hear everything. And I think it's just going to be like really strange. And I think some players are going to be like looking around, like waiting for the, like, this doesn't feel right. Or this doesn't sound right. What about the, like, as you're hitting at targets, if, you know, there'll still be TV towers there, but how often do you like look at a grandstand or a gallery or just pick a guy out and say, I'm on the name of that guy in the pink shirt who played in the pro-am with Colt, you know, stuff like that. Does that ever happen, Kelly? Or
I mean, I think courses are going to, probably, I mean, they're going to look a lot different without fans or, you know, if they're not doing as many stands, obviously, because they are thinking that they're going to not have these fans. But I've gone to places that tour sites where, you know, not on a tournament week, just at a different time of the year. And you get out there and you're like, wow, this place looks totally different. It's just hard to pick your sight lines or whatever. But yeah, you're used to aiming at stuff. I mean, stuff moves throughout the years, but for the most part, you know, you can still count on some of these stands and TV towers as like your sight lines. So it's definitely going to be a little different.
Yeah, Colt, what's it like, you know, playing a tour course, you know, with not during a tour event time? It's got to be just strange, right?
Yeah, I mean, if you went out to TPC Scottsdale right now and saw 16, I mean, if you're a tour player and you've never seen without stands, you'd be like, there's no way this is the actual hole. Like, it's just so bland. It's pretty boring par three, honestly. But when you put a stadium around it and fit 18,000 people, it changes things a little bit. But Kelly's right. I mean, you know, with all the grandstands and everything they have on tour, there's always, you know, a CBS Sports logo or whatever the tournament is, whether it be Shell Houston Open or whatever it is, there's always like a target you can aim at. You can, like, I mean, aim at the C and CBS. That's where I want to start it. So things will definitely be different and will look very, very different.
All right. This is from Brent LaCroix on Facebook, would like to ask if you guys would mind wishing the new head pro and Callaway staffer, Ann Rogerson, a happy birthday. So I'll leave it to you guys. Say happy birthday to Ann.
Well, happy birthday, Ann. Hope you have a great day.
Yeah, happy birthday.
All right. That was exciting. That kind of threw me for a loop. As I read the question, I thought there was going to be like a question following it. All right, well, let's talk about this. Who's been the most influential kind of instructor or staffer, someone who's helped you guys with your game? You'll start with you, Colt.
Mine's easy. Randy Smith in Dallas, Texas, out at Royal Oaks Country Club. I started working with him when I was 16 or 17 years old, and just he's meant more to me than anybody in this in the game of golf. It's taught me a lot about golf and a lot about life, and I couldn't be where I am without him, that's for sure.
How about you, Kelly?
Yeah, I'm going to go with my coach too, Josh Gregory. I've gotten a lot better over the last few seasons working with him. I think I've worked with him like the last 4 years, so he's kind of taken me a step up from where I was before then, and you know, allowed me to kind of keep playing the tour and getting better. So go with my man Josh.
Couple more questions here on the Callaway Golf Podcast with Kelly Kraft and Colt Nose. If you haven't listened to the Girls in Golf Podcast, they had Madeline Sagstrom on yesterday. They're going to have one of the Callaway staffers, maybe it'll be Ann Rogerson, who knows, on next week. And the Fitting Room guys have been doing all kinds of cool podcasts. They had Dylan Fratelli on, some quarantine mailbags. Are you guys tinkerers with your clubs, or are you guys kind of set it and forget it for the year? Let me start with you, Kelly, on that one.
Yeah, I mean, I tinker a little bit. I'm a very low spin player, so I'm always trying to find more spin. I play like the spinniest ball Callaway makes. I mess around with shaft, like iron shafts, a little bit, because I really like to play a blade iron, but they don't spin enough for me. So I've had to kind of tinker with shafts and try to find something that can create a little more spin, a little more height. But for the most part, I'll definitely try all the new gear every year, and it's really great. But sometimes I do end up going back to just kind of what I'm used to. It takes me a few weeks to get something in my bag. And I try not to switch my putter too much, just because you can fight through that. Even if you have a bad putting week, you know, the first time you turn that around, you go, okay, I remember I can still make putts with this thing. So, but I'm not a huge tinkerer. Maybe I played kind of the same irons for a while, just kind of different shafts and stuff like that. So,
Some extra spin I'd be happy to give you. Colt, what about you? Were you kind of a tinkerer? Or?
I don't think I was. Now, some guys on the truck might think otherwise, but I do not think. Like, I mean, as far as irons, I never switch irons. I've kind of always been an Apex Pro guy, whatever year they come out with those. I've always been that. I would say early on in my career, I probably drove Dean Takel a little nuts with trying to find some more distance off the tee with the driver. Chasing 5 yards here, 6 yards there and stuff like that, trying different shafts. For the most part, I don't think I am. I'm pretty simple, especially with like wedges, irons, and putter. I mean, they never change.
All right. Well, let's talk about the guys in the tour truck, because I'm sure most of them are watching right now. If they were going to have the Callaway Tour Truck Invitational and we were not giving shots, Who win? We'll do the gross division and the net division. Who do you guys think wins this? And keep in mind, they're all listening and they're all hoping you pick them. So I'll start with you, Colt.
Well, he's not in the truck anymore, but Spoz was by far the best player.
He counts.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's by far the best player.
He's going to win the gross, right?
Yeah. And then net, I actually don't know how – I got to go with Kevin just because he's my guy and he always wears my big gravy T-shirt when he's traveling. Mm-hmm. So I got a soft spot for Kevin, so I'm going to go with him for the net, even though I've never seen him hit a golf ball.
How about you, Kelly?
Oh, man. Yeah, I was going to say Spoz because he's obviously a great player. But I feel like maybe net division, I go with Johnny Thompson.
Yeah.
The visor flow, and he's just going to go out there and make some putts with that broomstick he uses.
Yeah, I think Johnny would be very competitive in that net. I think Dean would be, because I think Dean's handicap's higher than it should be because he's sandbagging these other guys, and he'll figure out a way to kind of take them down. All right, we got some more questions here, and then we'll let you guys go soon. This is from Krantz Esparza Jr. These are hard names. Who's your favorite golfer, and have you ever met them? Starting with you, Kelly, who was your favorite kind of before maybe you got to tour?
Oh, I mean, the whole reason why I started playing golf is because Tiger, so I got to go with him. I mean, watching him growing up, right. I always wanted to play in the same tournaments he did and all that. I mean, Tiger Woods for me. It's the reason why I play golf.
Right. And you've met him, I'm assuming?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
He's the only guy that I still see on tour and I still get a little bit starstruck. I'm used to seeing everybody else, but he doesn't play in a lot of the same tournaments I do. And so I don't see him like that often. And if he's there, he's like there for a very short period of time. So when I do run into him, it's still kind of weird for me. And it probably always will be, but that's kind of cool.
Do you do things on purpose to try to make sure you run into him if you know he's playing that event? Like, well, maybe on Riviera, I'll try to sneak out to this spot knowing he normally likes to be here, or not really.
No, I don't go out of my way or anything.
All right. All right. How about you, Colt?
Yeah, I mean, Tiger's the obvious answer with just for guys our age. I mean, he was the man, and I'm the same way. Seeing him still is crazy. But for me, I'll go to another guy that I've met that just I think's one of the greatest personalities in golf and so much fun to be around. That's Lee Trevino. Getting to spend around time with him in Dallas has just been a treat. Oh, he would take me to Dallas National once or twice a year, and we would just spend a day together practicing, playing nine holes, eating lunch, and just telling stories. And it was always like one of my favorite days of the year. Just such a cool guy. And I feel like the game of golf needs more of people like Lee Trevino in it.
Did you get a word in the whole day? Or you just sat and listened the whole day?
We were fighting to see who could talk, because I like to talk a bit as well. But, man, just it's unbelievable. I mean, I think last time I went out, he was 74 years old or somewhere around there, and just the shots he still hits are just unbelievable. Like, it's just such a treat to be around him.
He's still out there all the time. I see him out there all the time.
He's the best.
He tells you that if there would have been hybrids back then, you would have never heard of Jack Nicklaus.
Yep.
Oh, I love it. I love those guys that they still, even at this day, are still trying to beat each other, no matter which way. You see it with, you know, Johnny Miller. You see it with Weisskopf. You see that whole generation. They're always trying to beat each other. I love it. All right. This is we're going to try to help Art Les Paul. I wonder if he's related to the Les Paul guitar group. I don't have a problem with pitching iron to 6-iron, but my 5-iron is not consistent. Any tips to improve my 5-iron? This is a great question. I have a couple answers, but let me start with people who know. Start with you, Kelly.
I would say get a bigger 5-iron or go to like a hybrid sort of a 5-iron. I mean, I don't play a regular 5-iron in my bag, and that's really helped me just because I play with a Callaway utility iron. Every new one that comes out, I just change it out. It's super easy to hit, and I can hit it as high as my pitching wedge. And before, you know, playing like a blade 5-iron, you know, it's coming out low and it's not going to stop. So
what's the loft on that club for you?
27 degrees utility, and I can hit it. It's awesome.
I'm writing a note. Short add 27 UT to bag on it. All right, Colt, what about you? What are you going to suggest?
Yeah, along the same lines, I mean, get a hybrid. You know, one of my other favorite clubs in the bag is my Apex. It's old, probably 4 or 5 years old, the Apex hybrid. I have a 4-1, so it's 23 degrees aloft. And, I mean, it's just so easy to hit. I love it. I laugh at these, you know, mid to high handicappers that still have 4 and 5 irons in their bag. I'm like, you guys need all the help you can get. And the hybrids are so easy to hit. They go so high, like Kelly said. I'm honestly, now that I'm done, considering putting a 5 hybrid in the bag.
Yeah, I sometimes will go 3, 4, and 5 hybrid. The only thing the 5 iron helps me for is the punch out shot from the trees, which I have to hit quite a bit. So got to kind of consider that when you're doing this.
That's what I was worried about putting the 5 hybrid in. But out here in Scottsdale, the wind doesn't really blow that hard, and I don't really hit it that far offline off the tee. So it seems kind of like a no-brainer to me.
I like it. Brandon Russell wants to know, during this time, what is your priority in terms of equipment, physical conditioning, mental game, technique? You know, guys are all picking different things to work on. Kiz said he's actually working out, which was kind of you know, you guys know that he actually works out, but he has this image where he doesn't. Kelly, what are you working on? I know a lot of it's got to be rehab, right, and getting some strength back.
A lot of it for me is rehab in the gym, working on getting my flexibility back, getting my left hip stronger. I don't have the pain that I did before, so now it's all just trying to get stronger and you know, being able to walk the courses without having much tightness after the round. That way you can play, you know, 4 or 5 days in a row and, you know, multiple weeks in a row is kind of where I'm trying to get to. So for me, it's definitely in the gym right now.
Have you been doing any like yoga, stretching?
Yeah, actually I've been doing a little bit of yoga. We got a Peloton and they have like the yoga thing on there. And I've been doing some Peloton yoga, which is actually, I've never done yoga before, but that stuff
is
pretty nice.
Who's your go-to instructor on it? Sorry, Colt, we're going to deep dive for a second.
I think that Greenberg girl is pretty good.
Yeah.
I see her.
Yeah.
But
something fun for those listening live and on Thursday, our good friend Amanda Baliones is doing some beginner yoga on her Instagram tomorrow on Friday. And Jason Finley, who works in our Callaway offices, is in need of some beginner yoga. So we're going to try to make sure that Jason does this and videos so we can all make fun of Jason. But Amanda's doing some awesome stuff, you know, on her channels all the time. And yoga is one of those things. Colt, how about you? What have you been, you know, I know it's different when you're making this transition to sort of media. So have you been working on your media game?
Well, I haven't. I just get in there and talk every day. But I've been playing more golf than I think I did when I was playing professionally during these times.
Really?
We've been lucky. Whisper Rock out here in Scottsdale has been open. And I think I've played 28 of 30 days, played 36 yesterday. There's no practicing though. That's for sure. I warm up for 10 minutes, go to the tee and just gamble away and have a great time. I don't get mad anymore. It's golf's really, really fun when you don't care.
Yeah. That's what I was going to ask you is what the, I'm assuming the biggest difference is like you just hit an errant shot and you just don't get mad at yourself. Right? That's got to just be fun.
It's just like, I don't really practice, so there's no reason for me to get mad. But honestly, my golf game feels better than it probably has in 10 years. I think just because I don't care. I'm hitting it great. I'm playing great. They make me type in all my scores now and keep a handicap, and my handicap's probably better than it's ever been.
That's amazing. I don't even want to know what it is right now. Kelly, what about, you know, in terms of the next couple weeks? So let's say we do get this deal that we're going to be able to go. Your next step, you said, is driving range. And then once you do that, what will you sort of like, what's it going to look like for you before you know you're ready to go?
Well, I just have to be able to play, you know, four days in a row, walking. I'm going to have to be walking a lot and getting some of my speed back. I don't know where my speed is at right now. Because I haven't been able to use a range or anything. So once I kind of get that back and get those numbers back to where I know they should be as far as ball speed and stuff like that, then I'll know that, you know, I can hit it as well or better than I was. You know, I want to come back when I'm better off than I was before. So I got to make sure everything looks right before I come back out there and play.
And are you a part of these PGA Tour Peloton challenges that some of these guys are out there crushing the leaderboards?
No. So I did the biking a few times and it kind of made my left hip a little tight. So I kind of stopped doing that and switched to the yoga stuff. But, you know, I don't know, maybe that's just because I did it, you know, a couple days in a row. May have to jump on there again, but I'm not trying to compete with those guys.
Yeah, we Ethan Gnote on our team, and I did the ride with Bubba and Rory and Billy Horschel and everybody on. And they just dust us. Like literally, you see the leaderboard, and you see those guys just rocket right to the top. And
no, I'm out.
We were
that.
Trying as hard as we could. Yeah,
I'm out on that. I'm more of like a walk the dog around the block kind of a guy.
Nice. Well, the dogs are all getting tired of this because they're getting walked like 10 to 15 times a day. So,
mine's loving it. Mine is just like the dogs are really going to struggle after this. That's for sure.
Yeah, for sure. The pets. Some people have blamed this on the pets, right? Because they wanted all the humans home so they can kind of hang out with us all the time. Well, thank you guys for spending some time with us. Can't wait to do this again. Can't wait to do this again after you, Kelly, for you being out on tour and having some more success, and Colt, when you become a media superstar, you know, to be able to chat with you guys more often. This has been the one benefit of this whole thing for us at Callaway. We're getting to chat with our fans, letting our fans directly ask you guys questions. So thank you guys for spending some time with us. Next week, we're going to have a pretty fun Callaway Golf Podcast week on Tuesday. Emiliano Grillo is going to join us. I never know how to say his last name, so I feel like every time I say it, it changes. And I don't know if he's just messing with me or not, but we're going to cook together. So I love to cook. He loves to cook. We're going to set up the camera in the kitchen, and he's going to lead me through some Argentinian skirt steak, hopefully with some chimichurri. We're going to do it at lunchtime, so 12:30. So we're going to encourage you guys. I'm going to get him to give me the recipe and get the ingredients list, and we'll put it up on our website so people can go shop at home and kind of cook with us. Have you guys ever eaten a meal with Emmy? And give me a scouting report here.
I've never had any Argentinian food, but I've, you know, been around a group of people and had dinner with him. But
I like steak. I'm good to go.
I'm in for any kind of steak. That's for sure.
I love Emiliano Grillo. He is one of my favorite people to play golf with. He is a beauty, and we've had some good times on the golf course together.
Yeah, and if you follow him on Instagram, he does some. He's doing some great stuff for some charity for Argentina. So that's really, really cool. And then Thursday we have Retief Goosen on. So, Colt, I might need you to help me talk with him because he may not help me fill all the airspace. But I have so many questions for Retief Goosen because, like, literally, you never hear from the guy.
Pretty quiet.
And yeah, but I mean, like, talk about, you know, I mean, major champion, I just want to dive deep about Shinnecock and beating everybody there when the greens were basically unplayable. Something that we sort of saw last time there. So I want to talk about that. One last question for both of you guys. Where can they follow you? Start with you, Kelly. Where can people follow you to get some of your content and be able to interact with you online?
Instagram. Kelly, I think Kelly Craft Golf. I do Twitter too, but Colt's way more active on Twitter than I am. I'm not really a big Twitter guy. So just come follow me on Instagram.
All right. And Colt?
Yeah. So I'm on Instagram and Twitter at Colt Nost. And then our podcast is at golf_subpar. So golf subpar. And it's a blast. We put all our guests on there in a little preview. So check it out. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So y'all make sure you download the podcast.
That stuff is funny.
Podcast.
Colt's big time now, though. He only has, you know, like major champions and multiple PGA Tour. I got to win some tournaments.
I'm working my way to you, Kelly. Be patient. Yeah. Be patient.
Okay. I mean, Jack Nicklaus counts as U.S. amateur as a major. So you should do that. And I got that stupid trophy in the back there. So maybe that gets me on there. So who knows? Thank you guys so much for joining us. And we will see you next week with Emiliano Grillo on the Callaway Golf Podcast.
Thanks, all right. Jeff. Thank you.